another beast coming up out of the earth. All right, so it's a beast out of the earth. We don't know exactly what this means. There's all kinds of thoughts, and you read commentaries, you'll run the gamut of whether or not this is really a man. I believe this is an actual man, but I believe also that he's a representation of a system. The reason why I believe he's a man is because if you read later on in the Revelation, he's going to be cast into hell for all eternity. You can't really cast a system into hell, but you can a man or a person. So, but I believe that he's a representation of this. And there's a lot of followers behind the first beast and the second beast. By the way, I find it interesting that the Revelation doesn't call the first beast an antichrist. But the phrase antichrist is used in the epistles of John, in 1 John and in 2 John. And John writes Revelation, but he doesn't call him an antichrist. Just something interesting. I was thinking about that this last week as I was thinking about the message. I was driving hour after hour and all of that and stuck in traffic and all. And I was thinking about this morning's message and tonight. And I was thinking about antichrist. And I thought, it doesn't say that. We use that terminology. But it really just calls him a beast, a dangerous animal. Verse number 11, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. The phrase there, out of the earth, could make a reference to the region of the world that it's possibly from. Okay, and it says, and he had two horns like a lamb. I remind you that Satan is the great imitator. Who else is called a lamb? Jesus is a lamb. Amen. But notice the difference. He looks like a lamb, but then he spake as a dragon. So whenever he used words, he spake as the devil. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so they make a fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. You know, there's a lot of talk about what this mark is. A lot of talk. And people say, well, you know, it's the number 666. Well, you know, really it doesn't say that. It says the number of man is that, the number of this beast. What is this beast, this first beast, reference to looking like? Go back with me. Let's see where we want to be at. Look at it in verse number 1. Verse number 1. And so I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Notice the next verse, okay? There's some imagery words used here, but then there are just some descriptive words. Okay, watch. The beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. All right? Keep that in your mind. And his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So he says he has feet as of this and a mouth as of this, but he was like a leopard. What does a leopard have? Spots. You want to do an interesting Bible study? Study two words this coming week in the Bible. Leopard and spots. You'll be amazed whenever you get into spots. I forget how many times the word spot is used in the Bible, but in every time the word spot is used, it is used in a negative or a bad connotation. First reference to it is a reference to leprosy. Spot. The Bible talks about the church in the end time should have neither spot nor wrinkle. Just a thought, all right? That's free, by the way. I don't know if it goes anywhere. I've just been thinking about leopards and spots, okay? So let's read on. And it says, let's go toward the end of the chapter, right? So they receive a mark in their hand or their forehead. What does it look like? A spot. Okay. Now, inside of that spot, it's probably embedded a lot of things. Okay. Well, it's probably just some round dot, like a leopard, Wendell. That makes sense, doesn't it? So, I don't know if it's going to be accurate. We'll notice all this from heaven. Okay. And that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. All right. So, you can have any one of those three things. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it's the number of a man, and his number is 666. That's where we get the terminology 666 from. Okay? So we go through this chapter and we realize this about Satan. Satan is an imitator. Whatever God has done, Satan tries to do, but it's never done as well. Satan apparently has the ability to do miracles. We saw this whenever Moses was there with Pharaoh and Moses' rod. He threw it down, it became a serpent. Well, what did the magicians and all do? They did the same thing. The only thing that they weren't able to recreate was creating lice out of the dust of the earth. So apparently, Satan has many powers to perform certain miracles, but the act of creation is solely God's. Always remember that. The act of creation is solely God's. That's it. Everything else that the devil does, he has to do with what God has already created. Each member of the Holy Trinity has a specific purpose, and apparently each member of the unholy Trinity has a specific purpose. So we've gone through the personality of the beast, what he displays and what he declares. We talked about last week somewhat, and let's go to number two, Amber. This is where I'm going to start at tonight. The power of this beast. The power. He exercised... I've got a tickle in my throat. I don't know if it's going to go away. I'm going to drink some water, see? Verse number 12. It says, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him. This individual will receive power from the same source that the Antichrist will receive his power. Where's that power come from? The dragon, right? The devil. So this world leader, the world will receive or accept the so-called man of God, and the world will be deceived, and they'll not grasp the truth that Satan is behind it until it's too late. And we see the scope of his power, and this man will be someone that brings together the world religions. Hey, listen, 30 years ago, this would have been an impossibility on so many levels, but the ecumenical movement began to move. The speaking in tongues movement and all of that, that brought so many of these different various religions together. So this man is going to have power in order to come into a certain form of worship with this man. And then lastly, what I want to cover tonight is the last part of it, not only the personality and the power, but what he performs, or I've called it the performance of this beast. All right, so look at it in verse number 13 again. It says, he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. So first of all, he performs miracles. We're told that the false prophet will be a man of miracles. He'll duplicate the miracles of who? The two witnesses. Hold your finger here. Go back with me to chapter 11. 11 in verse number 5. 11 in verse number 5. These are the two witnesses that were on the earth proclaiming the truth of the word of God. And it says this, if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. So they had the power to send fire out of their mouth and devour their enemies. So the devil is going to duplicate that same type of miracle. Also, he's going to mock and duplicate the miracle of Elijah there in 1 Kings chapter 18. You remember whenever Elijah called down fire and it rained fire on the false prophets and the men fell to their faces and they worshiped Jehovah? Well, when the false prophet calls down fire from heaven, men are going to fall on their faces and they're going to worship the Antichrist or the first beast, also known as the devil. People may be deceived. The Bible says that people are going to be deceived. God's going to send strong delusion to those that have rejected truth. Well, when you reject truth, you'll accept anything. I'm going to tell you something. We're watching that happen in our world today. Men have rejected truth. Let's go through a couple lines of truth that have been rejected over the last few years. One of them is that marriage is no longer between a man and a woman. They've rejected that truth. And what have they created? All kinds of unions. Well, it's another truth that you can just close your eyes and wish it, and shazam, I can change my gender. It's just however I feel today. That's what gender I am. They've taken away the fact of a biological male and a biological female. It doesn't matter if you're a biological male. If you feel like you are a female, then that's what you are. What's happened? They've rejected truth and they've accepted anything. And to any of us that have half a brain, which most of us fit that category, any of us that have half a brain, know that is the height of stupidity. The only thing more stupider than that is Joe Biden as our president. That's free, by the way. But men will fall on their faces. Why? They've rejected the truth of the Word of God, and they are willing to be deceived by anything. Now, in their defense, I must say this. At this point in history, midpoint of the tribulation, they've gone through an awful lot. Their world literally has been turned upside down. And you think about all the stuff that's been happening and how much of the population is dead at this point and how much of the population is missing because of the rapture and all of the other things that are going. There are wars all around. There's chaos. The false prophet will step onto the scene. And he will point people. He'll be the mouthpiece of religion, pointing people to worship the first beast or the man that we call the Antichrist. Well, let's see how he does that and what happens. Go back with me to Revelation 13. Revelation 13 says, here's what happens. Part of it is, he doeth great wonders, verse number 13, he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He deceiveth them that, by the way, I don't believe that this is going to be some kind of manipulation like the magicians and all do today. I believe it's going to be a real miracle. He's literally going to be able to do that. Now, how he does it, I don't know. I don't know. I've always kind of scratched my head whenever I've read there in the Exodus about the magicians being able to make their staff become a serpent. I've just kind of wondered about that. But apparently that is something that the devil has power to do. And it says in verse number 14, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. The phrase there in the sight of the beast literally means in the presence of the beast. So I don't know if it's whenever the two of these get together that these things happen or what. Well, just something for you to think about. Saying to them that dwell on the earth, notice this, that they should make an image to the beast. Now, let me ask you a question, huh? Do you think that whenever the Bible says they should make an image to the beast, do you think that that is one great big image somewhere? Or could it be one great big image somewhere and in a bunch of little ones that people keep in their homes? Listen, the religious world has, what's the word I'm looking for? The religious world has taught people that it's a good idea to have religious relics in their homes. Does that sound right? You have Virgin Marys, you have the crucifix, you have, if you're a Buddhist, you have little Buddhas and all of that, right? So I'm thinking just in my mind, okay, they've got one big image probably somewhere, right? Kind of like in Pharaoh's day, you know, had, or in Nebuchadnezzar's day, had a great big image, right? So probably have a great big image somewhere. I don't know exactly where this would be at, But I got an idea also that it might even be a rule that you've got to have an image of this person in your home. And there's a reason for that. Let's follow and see the rest of it, all right? It says in verse number 14, by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And we know that the Antichrist apparently is wounded to death. He dies, whether real or some sort of trickery. He lays dead in the state of death for 3 days, and then the third day he rises back up. So the world captures that, and they see that. And then in verse number 15, and he had power to give life. Now this is talking about the second beast. This is the false prophet, right? He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So imagine with me, there's a big image of, and let's just pick somebody that would fit the Antichrist role. Let's go out on a limb, Barack Obama. All right, there's a big image of Barack Obama. And there's that image, and in everybody's house, they have little images of Barack Obama. Now, can you imagine that this false prophet is able to make those images speak? That would seem like a miracle, wouldn't it? Could you imagine if at the same time around the globe that those little images and that great big image all commanded the people to kill those that did not worship the beast? That's what's going on here. That image uses phrases and words challenging those that follow him to kill those that do not worship him. Now we know that the method of killing believers in Jesus Christ and really those that are non-believers in Jesus but are refusing to be worshipers of the beast, which I got an idea there'll be quite a few of them. The method of death is beheading. Somehow, whether they use a sword like they do in Muslim countries or they use a guillotine or whatever they do. But the Bible tells us the souls under the altar which were beheaded. So you have these things going on. Now I was looking it up on the internet and I did a search, statues that talk. You know, you can come up with everything. I don't know if they still have it, but years ago in Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, there are three great fountains inside of the building, and as part of that, they have these statues there. And as part of the show, and you can watch a YouTube video of it, and as part of the show, these statues begin to talk. Well, I've been to Disney World. I've seen Abraham Lincoln talk. Amen. You've seen the animatronics, I think it's called. And think about it, that's in our day and time. That's not even necessarily satanically inspired. But can you imagine you've got one of these little relics in your home, and all of a sudden that dude starts talking? You know what people are going to think? That's a miracle. Me? I'd run out the door. Yeah, I'd throw that little Buddha, that little Barack Obama right out the door. Amen. But we say this, and we have trouble believing this. But you know, we're living in a world where most people worship nothing but themselves. It's hard to imagine the people world over bowing down to an image. It really is. But you know what? Here we are on Sunday. People around the United States and even in different parts of the world bow down to the image of the NFL. In our day of advanced technology and sophisticated people, it's really kind of hard to see the world falling down before a statue and worshiping the devil. But I got an idea. If those statues were in every home, it might make a difference. Put yourself in that time. Millions have gone missing in the rapture. There's no explanation for that. course, I don't know what the government's going to tell people. Maybe they've got them, tell them they got them locked up in FEMA camps. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Aliens? The world's falling apart, it seems, as wars rumble from country to country. Imagine with me, we have not visited it lately in the book of the Revelation, but the disease that is here. With death comes disease. Disease has got to be rampant. You've got war, you've got starvation, and you've got plagues. Nearly one half of the world's population is either dead or dying. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. People are going to look for something or someone to believe in. An Antichrist is going to walk on the scene. He'll have the solutions to the problems of the world. He will have the solution to war, to hunger, and every problem known to humanity. And if he doesn't, the media will be complicit in covering it up. You say, oh, I don't believe that'll happen. Really? Seriously? How many things have we seen the media complicit in over the last couple of years? Listen, this Hunter Biden thing should blow apart the top upper echelons of the United States government. The communist Chinese are so embedded with so many of those people, it's not even funny. The false prophet will speak. Here's the man. Trust me, he says. And he'll set the world at ease. He'll declare the Antichrist to be the world's Savior. And they'll bow and worship him. And it'll be deception on a scale that the world has never seen. See, our world's being prepared for that right now. Do a Google search of miracles. Miracles that have happened in the last 30 years. And you'll come up with all kinds of things. I can remember years ago, I think it was in Tennessee, strange crosses begin to show up on the windows of a church. People flocked there. They had to build new roads to the place. I can remember the time where the image of the Virgin Mary, they thought they saw it on the side of a building and they made it a shrine. In Hinduism, might have been in Buddhism, one or the other. There were statues that people would put a spoonful of milk up to its lips, and it would literally look like the spoonful of milk was disappearing, and people were saying those statues were drinking the milk. But if you really looked at the pictures of the video, and you look kind of closely and zoomed in a little bit, you could see milk all around the bottom of the statue. It's like they were missing his mouth, okay? He wasn't really sucking it out of it. But still, people believe that. People are want to believe a miracle. People still flock to great springs of water that they believe will cause healing or bring healing. Hundreds of thousands of people flock to the healing crusades across America and across the world. Those are just some of the things that happen every once in a while. Can you imagine whenever the news media, the internet, Facebook, social media, et al. Are behind pushing this? If you want to draw a crowd, just start advertising miracles and the people will come. I read this. I don't remember this one. I guess I wasn't old enough. It said one fellow claimed to see the face of Jesus in a tortilla in 1977 in New Mexico. He built a shrine and thousands have gone there to pray before the tortilla. Someone saw the image of the Virgin Mary on the side of their house and turned into a shrine. Thousands have gone there to pray to Mary. When the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001 occurred, someone took a photo of a cloud that was supposed to look like the devil, and people believed it. People believed that, John. I guess it never occurred to anyone this thought. Because I was thinking about it, I was reading about all those things. Here's one thought that occurred to me, other than, that's stupid. That next thought was this. Nobody knows what Jesus looks like. No one knows what Virgin Mary looks like. Or no one even really knows what the devil looks like. See, the world is being prepped for mass delusion. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians, "And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." Talking about those that rejected truth. You must reject truth first before God sends strong delusion. Well, you see how He does it, but then I want you to look lastly. I know that it's going a little bit long, but I want to finish this portion. Why He does it. His motives. His motives. Look at it with me in verse number 14. "And He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which He had power to do in the sight of the earth, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by sword and did live. And He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak," notice this, "should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." The false prophet does this stuff for the sole purpose of getting the world to worship the Antichrist. Those who refuse to worship Orthodox Jews that still have not come to Christianity but refuse to worship, I got an idea there will be Orthodox Muslims and Orthodox Buddhists that will refuse to do that. They too will be put to death. You know why? Because they don't conform. They're not willing to fall in the line. They'll be hunted down and they'll be destroyed. See, today you can worship any god you please to worship, or you can worship no god at all. But in that day, you will either worship the Antichrist or you'll pay the price of disobedience with your life. That's His motive. What's His motive? All right, you've got to remember, the first beast is like a leopard and all the rest, but He speaks like a dragon. His power, His authority, everything is given to Him by the devil. The second beast is just the same. The second beast doesn't look like a wild man. The second beast doesn't look like a man that is ruthless and all of that. The second man looks meek. He sounds like a God-fearing man. And he begins to produce these miracles. And the world falls head over tail in love with the Antichrist. The world will come together one day. It will not be the United Nations that brings it together. It will be the Antichrist. He will use the religious machinery that is in place today to lead to worship. Our world is heading for some very dark days. Well, you can see it. You see it on the horizon. You can hear it. I don't know about you guys, but whenever our president begins to rattle on about Russia and uses terminology like nuclear and Armageddon in sentences, that scares me to death. Because this guy doesn't have sense enough to tie his shoes. It's scary. And Putin has no regard for anyone, and he knows that he is aging and his career is almost over. There's a nightmare coming. The time to escape it is now. Amen? I'm glad I've trusted Jesus, my Savior. One of the things that we ought to be praying for is not only for souls to come to Christ, but for church members to be saved. I'm afraid that there are people that sit in our churches. I know there are people that sit in our churches all across America that they've kind of grown up in it, or they've prayed a little prayer or whatever, but they're not saved. And see, they've already been given a strong delusion. because they refuse to believe the truth. And those that will be left behind like that, they're going to go one of two ways. And I believe the biggest way that most of them are going to go, they're going to hate God with a vengeance. Because in their heart, they think they've done everything that they should have done. And they're going to be angry. And they'll be part of this crowd right here that will worship this Antichrist. If you're saved, well, take a moment and just say, thank you, Jesus, and I don't have to go through this. But if you're saved, we have family and friends that will be right there in the middle of that mess. I pray that we live for Jesus this week. Amen. Next week, we'll finish out that chapter. This is an ugly chapter in Revelation. This is an unveiling of the adversary. Let's pray this week that we'll live for Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before you tonight. We love you. We thank you for the Word of God. We're so overwhelmed with how good heaven is going to be, how great heaven is going to be. My Lord, we're almost overwhelmed with how ugly things are going to be here on earth as your judgment begins to fall. Oh, Lord, we pray for those that we know and we love, that they would trust you and escape the coming night. Lord, help us to be prayer warriors, to be vigilant in our witness, vibrant in our walk with you. Lord Jesus, I love you. And I thank you for saving me. I didn't deserve it, yet you chose to save me whenever I ask, and I'm so grateful for that. Lord, help me to share my testimony, my witness, my faith, my Jesus with somebody this week. Lead us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you guys go, let me tell you about a couple of those books. I put some price tags on